You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant cares about
ain't
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life,
running like a red disease,
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself,
stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie.
This call is being recorded.
Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're having a good day. After all, this is Good Friday. So I hope you have a good Friday and a great weekend. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, I know. Don't worry about it. Stay home. Stay in the house. If you do go out, wear a mask. Wash your hands. Protect yourself. You know, I've been doing updates on the coronavirus and all the other things that people say. It's creation. It's from the professor in Massachusetts who was busted by the CIA, supposedly, to what happened in Wuhan. And now that Wuhan is back together, it's bustling again, and what they did in Wuhan to 5G and the outlay of 5G. And what bottom line is this: the coronavirus is here and it is killing people. And because of our situation as American Africans in major cities, because of our health disparity, and because of all the other things that happen in this society where things are worse in us than anybody else, we are most susceptible. And when we get it, we're more likely to die. So let's not get it. Let's do all things that prevent it. Let's boost our immune system. Even if you feel something is coming on, you know, drink hot coffee, drink hot tea, boil that pot of water with lemons and echinacea and turmeric and, you know, ginger root and garlic. Inhale it 15, 20 minutes. Whatever you have to do, whatever you must do to survive. And for you and your family, that's what you do. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, brothers and sisters, you can always go to the archives. Go to timeforanawakening.com. On that page, click on podcasts, and then you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And you'll have opportunity to listen to previous recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Brother Wahad, out of Philadelphia, Public Affairs Program out of Philadelphia. Then on every other Monday is Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Tuesdays at 8 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Also, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. It still feels so weird only announcing just five programs. You know, it does. I hope some come back, and I hope, well, one person's coming back. That's Brother Franklin Jones is going to be on Wednesday. Brother Franklin Jones is going to be on Wednesday with me, and we're going to chop it up and talk about some very serious stuff, no doubt, as we always have and always will. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The products on that website are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayembe, he has updated the website, so go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And you'll see for yourself, they've been updated. The Senegal and Gambia trip has been moved to July 24th through August 3rd. July 24th through August 3rd. The Ghana trip is still scheduled for May 25th to June 5th. That might change depending upon how things are going around the world and particularly here and what's going to happen in Africa. So, these dates are set, but they're not concrete, if you know what I mean. South Africa, November 20th through the 30th. And then Ghana again, December 24th to January 5th, 2021. And then next year, around this time, April 2nd to the 12th, 2021, going once again to Senegal and to Gambia. That's Africa for the Africans. If you want to see video, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. And the number to call is 404-931-9429. 931-9429. That's Africa for the Africans. Brother Renoka Rashidi, he is going, of course, to Uganda and Rwanda. October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th. And then he's going to Kemet October 22nd through November 4th of this year. He has two tours planned. Going to Uganda and Rwanda October 5th through the 16th. And then he's going to Kemet October 22nd through the 4th. Go online to drrinoco.com, drrinoco.com. Habesha Incorporated.org, habeshaincorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go online to habeshaincorporated.org. Habesha is a African-centered organization, a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences to cultivate in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology, so desperately needed. And, of course, the Kashi Project, what they are raising funds for to build an African village. To build an African, it is being done. When you go on the website, you'll see the progress that is being made, but money is still needed. So we still need you to go online and invest in Habesha Incorporated.org. They are doing the work. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work, and they need your support. Shrine of Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I believe the shrines across the other places in Houston
in Detroit where the shrine began are closed. I'll contact Brother Olutunje, Baba Olutunje, to find out the progress and see what's happening and prospects of when it may happen, when it may open. I thought when I drove by the other day that the bookstore was open. I did see they, you know, they have the gates that, you know, back in the riot days, they have those on the building so nobody can break in, understandable. So I thought one was up, but we'll see. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End. Also, too, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. See if that's open. I know Brother Gazimde and Black Dot said he's going to be open during this time. So we'll see. We'll see. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. They had a Thursday night broadcast last night or on Block Talk Radio. A very good program with Sister Nanana and Brother Thurman. Outstanding job. Give a listen. Become a member. Support Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Listen to the Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. on Thursday nights. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Dare to win. That's for sure. Dare to win. Ackerman Institute. The Ackerman Institute. Brother Baba Baruti and Sister Yah Baruti, they are doing the online piece that they're doing. So, Ackerman Institute, make check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786. Also, too, you can use PayPal or Cash App. When you go to PayPal, put the dollar sign in, YAAMBARUTI. And, of course, you've probably never done that, and it'll say, you know this person, and then you click yes, and then you make that contribution and make it ongoing. Also, too, Sanjay Dash Aiti, Sister Gabrielle Riria, doing outstanding work in Haiti, in the northeast corner of Haiti, and just doing great work with our children in terms of education, in terms of health and sustainability. They have a chicken farm, all kind of good stuff. I mean, this sister definitely deserves to be supported. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. That's how Haiti's supposed to be. You know, it ain't Haiti, it's Haiti. Sanjay-Haiti. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. April 9th. The psychology of becoming free is contingent upon understanding the captive-making process. The psychology of becoming free requires the reverse of the captive-making process. Brother Kawanze Kunjufu, brother who wrote The Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys, Brother Kawanje Kunjufu. We have to remember that reversing the captive-making process entails more than just knowledge of self. It requires reversing what happened to us in its entirety. So, know that we cannot just reverse one part of this horrific experience and consider ourselves our work done. We must reverse the process as it impacted us in all areas, in all institutions, family, religion, politics, education, economics, and military. Therefore, logically, we cannot just build monetary wealth to the point of equality with oppressors. By itself, that would not suffice for the severe defects in our families, educational institutions, or military. None alone will suffice. They must all be claimed and built together. A people do not develop these institutions unevenly. Each needs the work of the other because they are from one mind and exert a common force. Affirm, I reverse the captive-making process. Affirm, I reverse the captive-making process. April 10th. I will not retreat 1/10,000th of an inch. Paul Roberson. By definition, warriorhood means a total absence of compromise. For those who define it from an African center, it means that there is only one truth, one vision, one thought, the full, unqualified liberation and empowerment of African people on planet Earth, now and forever. Therefore, every thought, word, and deed produced by a warrior's spirit, mind, and body must move him or her in that direction. There is no more important priority, no other visible reality or viable reality. In our confusing of Europeans with civilized, humanitarian, ingenious people, we have already given them far too much of our land, space, resources, wisdom, genius, divinity, dignity, blood, flesh, time, power, and self. We stand on the edge of the abyss of whiteness, leaning backwards away from everything African. We stand on the verge of genetic and cultural annihilation. There is nothing in the universe which says that it is an impossibility, nor does anything say that we cannot be brought under a barbarian dominance or cannot again be mentally, physically enslaved. This senseless fate must end. We must stand. There can be no retreat, not 1/1,000th of an inch. Affirm, I do not retreat infinitesimal fraction from that which is African. I do not retreat from infinitesimal fraction from that which is African. April 11th. The undisciplined elder is revealed by children. The undisciplined elder is revealed by children. A Akan proverb. An older sister once said to me that if African male elders would only act as warriors, our young men would have no question about what to do. What to be would become crystal clear. Our tradition is a tradition of responsible elder, men and women of age who did not see their lives as an obstacle course in preparation for a well-deserved, leisurely, irresponsible, unaccountable retirement before death. In the African tradition, eldership has always been a goal in life, an honorable, highly respected aspiration. It was a privilege bestowed only on those who had lived a righteous life, full of earnest and devoted fulfillment and beneficial duty and obligation to the community. Those who were incapable of fulfilling these social contracts for reasons beyond their control were forgiven. Those unwilling or no sensible reason was shunned, dismissed as cowards or traitors. Elders are held most responsible for their thought and behavior, as well as the discipline of those that are the guidance and guardians of us, because they are the most experienced in the ways of the people and universal truth. Because of their status, privilege, and role in maintaining the community's sanity, offenses by them were least tolerated. There were no excuses for those who had gained a knowledge of right and wrong through the experience of time and did not share it and did not take that responsibility seriously. Affirm, I hold elders accountable as I struggle to be wise. Affirm, I hold elders accountable as I struggle to become wise. The Inye Shesem of daily revolutionary thought. I tell you, like I said, sometimes I begin to read those. And as I said the other day, I read them the day of, And many times my conversation or the topic of that day, the Inye Shesem really brings it home. It's just right there, you know. Today is Friday, And in the Christian tradition, this is Good Friday. Last week in Christianity and in Judaism, because those two religions go hand, in fact, all three, because if you know the story of Abraham, Abraham's wife Sarah could not get pregnant, and so she told him to take her handmaiden, Hagar, and he had a child, Ishmael. And then God looked at the situation and thought, you know what, this ain't too cool, I guess. I have another desire to do something, so this ain't too cool. They got to go, Abraham, they got to go. So I'm going to be okay with them. I'm going to watch over them. So you just tell Hagar and Ishmael to gather up their stuff and hit the road. And Sarah was like, yeah, bet. But damn, I'm old. You know, I'm way beyond the years of rearing, you know, birthing children. But then again, of course, there's always me. Hey, I saw the other day, there was a lady 80-some years old in India. And I'm like, in India, as mass amount of people it is in India, why is our old ass getting pregnant? I'm sorry, y'all. Why is she getting pregnant? Well, but hey, if the old dude could do it, it's, you know, he's I got to give him some props too, though, you know. Both of them. Well, anyway, let's get back on the subject. Oh, she. So Ishmael was promised that he would, God told him he'd be a mighty seed and a mighty people. And of course, out of Ishmael comes the Arab people and Islam. So that's why Abraham is the father of all three religions. Because Sarah does born him a child, Isaac. You know, and in fact, God even tests Abraham, gave him a test. You know, oh my God, would do something playing around like that. You know, damn, stop doing that. Anyway, he tests him, and of course, he was supposed to take him up there and sacrifice him, and then of course he did, and God said, okay, I just want to see if you're going to do it. And you almost laid the knife on that boy. So, you know, and so I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless Isaac. And of course, Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Isaac was going blind. And so Jacob kind of hung around the encampment, if you want to call it that, and hung with his mama. And he made this delicious stew that Isaac liked. But so did Esau, because Esau was a hunter. Esau was big and he was hairy all over. And Jacob was not, he was kind of smooth and skin smooth. And so as Isaac thought he was about, you know, ready to expire, he said to Esau, go out. Because Jacob tried to trip him up in the womb, as the story goes. These are all stories, y'all. I'm giving you stories. I'm not giving you history. That is the purpose of this program today on religion, on this day, on this so-called Good Friday. If you want to hear the history, you know, then, but if you want to hear the stories, go to church. Anyway, let me get back to the subject. Because, I mean, this what I'm talking about today is very serious. Very serious. And I may make light of some things, but understand something. Far as I'm concerned, the crux of the problem for African people being unified is the religions that have been imposed on us. Make no mistake about that. Okay. So Jacob tells his mama, hey, dad is going to give the blessing and the birthright to Esau because he was first out. You know, he's the firstborn. Oh, we got to do something about that. I tell you what, make that meal that he likes. Because, you know, Esau might be a while out there hunting and so forth.
or make that meal. I like, but hey, mama, I know he's blind, but what if he tries to touch me? I got some for that. I got some stuff that'll make it feel just like it's the hairy feel of Esau. And so Isaac does it. And he gives him the stuff he likes. And so he gives him the birthright. You know, he touches him. He says, you know, it's the kind of voice. The voice is kind of like Isaac, but the feel is like of Esau. So I'm like, okay. And in the savory stew, okay, I got you. There you go. And so then, when Esau got back, hey, Dad, it's me, and here's it is. Wait a minute, you was just here. And so he got mad. He was going to kill Jacob, and his mama knew it. So he sent him away to go be with his uncle. And of course, in this story, you know that he falls asleep and he's climbing Jacob's ladder and he has a fight with an archangel or whoever, breaks his leg, whatever, in the dream. And of course, he's renamed. No longer will your name be Jacob, but your name will be Israel, you know. And so also, too, he encounters Esau again. I might not be in chronological order in this story here, okay? Just follow with me, okay? I may not be in chronological order. So he encounters Esau again, and so Esau was hungry and out there hunting and couldn't kill nothing and wouldn't nothing die and was all thirsty and everything. And so Jacob said, hey, you want something? I'll tell you what, I got the birthright. Give me your blessing. Get me the what would be the blessing to me when I'm about to die of thirst? Yes, give it to me. Here you have it. So he got the birthright and the blessing and all. And so anyway, and of course he, you know, marries, Rachel. He liked Rachel, but he marries somebody. Well, anyway, he has the 12 tribes, da-da-da-da. Okay, Judaism. Judaism, or the Hebrews, or the Israelites. Because you can't really use Judaism or Jews because the letter J... And even Jesus, even Judah, the letter J had not been created in the alphabet until the early 1500s, the 16th century. That's why people say, well, no, his name was not Jesus. It was Yahshua, not Jesus, Yahshua. Okay, we'll talk about that. So now, you know, the Hebrew situation is there. And of course, allegedly that the Hebrews last Sunday, I've watched the Ten Commandments movie, which I've seen umpteen times again, although I did fall asleep on it. I was surprised. Yeah. I fell asleep after he went to the mountain and he got the first four or five commandments. And next thing I know, I was out. So, but anyway, you know, Moses, as this story goes, he's born, and the edict went out because the Pharaoh or the king found out a deliverer will be born. There's a sign of delivery. Well, I'll tell you what, then you kill all of the male children. Kill all of the male children. And so Moses was put in a basket and cast on down the Nile. And he lands in Pharaoh's sister, his sister. And she takes him and she rears him in the house of Pharaoh. He becomes strong and wise. And, of course, his challenge has always been his cousin, I guess, who is supposed to be Ramesses. Well, you know, there's many Ramesses, but Ramesses II is the Ramesses that many of us know. Ramesses II is the one that built on a mass scale. If you look at Abu Simbel in the southern part of Kemet, going towards the Sudan, going in the area of Kush, or, you know, and so that's Ramesses II, you know, whose wife was Nefertari. And if you remember the movie, how it plays out, of course, you know, he's great. He does great things, and you know, he's having great favor.
And then he's found out, or he finds out about his history, about who he is. And then he is cast out. He's cast out of Kemet or Egypt, and he survives. And he comes upon the village and a herding group who were Muslims. Even says that they were from Ishmael. And he takes a wife there, and the rumbling of the mountain, and he goes to the mountain, and he gets instruction to go tell Ramesses, because his father Seti II had passed, to let the people go, you know. And all these plagues. Now, in the movie Exodus, with Christian Bale as Moses, they show the graphic plagues. They show people with boils on and show the grasshoppers eating all stuff. See, they only show a few of the, you know, of the plagues, you know, in the old one, the cinematic old one, the one that was about 3.5 hours long. And so that happens. And then he says, I tell you what, if you ain't still letting us go after all these things that I've shown you, then what you do, what you say, will be onto Egypt, because you would have done it. And so he was going to let them go, but he got pissed. Because, you know, as the movie goes, you know how to do the movie, because Nefertiti was most madly in love with Moses, that she dissed him and made him mad. And so he said, okay, every firstborn in here of the Hebrews will be killed. And because he said and did that, so it wasn't going to be the firstborn of the Israelites or the Hebrews, it was going to be the firstborn of Kemet, the firstborn of Egypt. It's going to be their firstborn, because he had decreed it, and so it was reversed. Whatever everything you say to do is going to be on you. And of course, it was told to them that put the blood of the lamb on your door so it will pass over. It will pass over. So that's where you get the Passover. That's what you had last week, Sunday, the Passover. And so that's why they have the Passover. And that's done by the Hebrew calendar. When that time is after the first full moon, the Passover. Now, understand something. They had dates back then. They could have given a specific date and year back then. But because it's more easy and you can deal with a myth a lot easier to make it a nebulous that you, I don't know, but this is what it is, see? And so what happens is that Easter, because see, Jesus came into Jerusalem for Passover. And of course, he turns all stuff over. I mean, he's just going crazy. And so Pontius Pilate and them said, hey, man, this cat is a rebel, man. We got to do something about him. And of course, the Hebrews of that time, because the Hebrews were looking for somebody to take the yoke off their butts from Rome. A warrior. They were not looking for somebody who was making folks and talking about folks being more good and passive and so forth. No, they wanted somebody to kick this dude's ass. Let's be real. But that wasn't happening. So they turned him over. They turned him over to Pontius Pilate, and of course he got dogged out. I don't know if you saw the Passion of Christ. It just made me like, stop it, please. Just stop it, damn. Anyway, so that's part of the story, you see. See? So Palm Sunday, he rides triumphantly into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, the Passover. And the Passover is from when they were in captivity. Now, of course, I've stated last week and I'll state it again. There is no history. No history. There's no history. All the things that I'm saying today, there is no history. These are beliefs. These are beliefs. They're not historical. There's nowhere found. That's the problem. In ancient Kemet, there are mummies. There are physical mummies. There is Medu Netcher, or what the Greeks called hieroglyphs, which are Medu means writing, Netcher means God, writing on the temples, on the tombs, on the wall, clearly. You don't have one damn marker about the disciples. You don't have one marker about nothing. We believe. And that's the saying, we believe. We believe. And that's what they have to say, because they know that it is not true. So we believe. So Jesus is in Israel or in Judea, whatever. And of course, he is given a severe beat down. He's hung on the cross and he's taken off. That's Friday today. That would have been today. Now, you know, to me, is it 3 days? Because I mean, like, okay, let's just say he got happening right now. Then and he died. They cleaned him up and so forth, wrapped him up. Then they put him in the tomb on Friday night. Okay. So he's there Friday night. Now he's in all day Saturday, but he rolls on Sunday morning. Damn, is that really 3 days? Or just like, okay, yeah, it's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But damn, it ain't like 72 hours. Shit, it ain't even, you know, about 30 hours. Let's say it's that. But anyway, okay, once again, stop being technical, Oshi. Stop trying to be historical, Oshi. So now this happens, and he ascends and so forth, and of course, the Christian religion happens and it all starts. And then because there was no eyewitness account, there really is nothing. These are stories. And so there's always issues within Christendom, within that part of the world. And so along comes 325 AD and the Roman Emperor Constantine. He commissions a council, the Nicene Conference. The Nicene Conference. Now, since there's so much stuff out there and nothing of it historical, but just people who believed, you know, so what Constantine does, he says, I tell you what, y'all, this is just giving me a damn headache. I'm just trying to, you know, set all these squabbles in my, in my empire, in the latter part of the Roman Empire. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I ain't gonna be bothered knowing about Constantine, but anyway, he said we're gonna pray on all these books, all these manuscripts, all this stuff, and then the ones that come to the top, these will be the canons. These will be the books of the Bible, of the Old and New Testament, and so forth. And so that's supposedly what happened. The Nicene Conference, 325 A.D. Look that up. Look up Nicene Conference. Yeah, 325. And then there was another ecumenical conference that happened a little bit after that. But it's at the Council of Nicaea that the idea of Christmas and Easter and all these other things became into being. That's where they all came into being, you know, in 325. And then, of course, the Council of Constantinople, some years later. Constantinople is east of Rome, and that's what is in Constantinople is what is now Istanbul, Turkey. You know, so. But instead of me constantly talking about it, I'm gonna play this one piece, and you probably heard this piece. I haven't heard it in quite a while, but I felt this would be good to play. When we talking about this particular issue and what this is, and I'm quite sure you probably remember, you probably heard it, Zeitgeist. And this is the one on religion. And I'm just going to play part one. The reason why I like it, because it also has George Carlin. Now, if you ever did, ever heard George Carlin's piece on religion, it's classic, you know. It's classic. They don't do the whole piece. But if you do, go to YouTube and listen to the whole classic piece on George Carlin. It's great.
The more you begin to investigate what we think we understand, where we came from, what we think we're doing, the more you begin to see we've been lied to. We've been lied to by every institution. What makes you think for one minute that the religious institution is the only one that's never been touched? The religious institutions of this world are at the bottom of the dirt. The religious institutions in this world are put there by the same people who gave you your government, your corrupt education, who set up your international banking cartels, because our masters don't give a damn about you or your family. All they care about is what they have always cared about, and that's controlling the whole damn world. We have been misled away from the true and divine presence in the universe that men have called God. I don't know what God is, but I know what he isn't. And unless and until you are prepared to look at the whole truth and wherever it may go, whoever it may lead to, if you want to look the other way or if you want to play favorites, then somewhere along the line you're going to find out you're messing with divine justice. The more you educate yourself, the more you understand where things come from, the more obvious things become, and you begin to see lies everywhere. You have to know the truth and seek the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky, who watches everything you do, every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit.
This is the sun. As far back as 10,000 BC, history is abundant with carvings and writings reflecting people's respect and adoration for this object. And it is simple to understand why, as every morning the sun would rise, bringing vision, warmth, and security, saving man from the cold, blind, predator-filled darkness of night. Without it, the cultures understood, the crops would not grow, and life on the planet would not survive. These realities made the sun the most adored object of all time. Likewise, they were also very aware of the stars. The tracking of the stars allowed them to recognize and anticipate events which occurred over long periods of time, such as eclipses and full moons. They in turn cataloged celestial groups into what we know today as constellations. This is the cross of the zodiac, one of the oldest conceptual images in human history. It reflects the sun as it figuratively passes through the 12 major constellations over the course of a year. It also reflects the 12 months of the year, the four seasons, and the solstices and equinoxes. The term zodiac relates to the fact that constellations were anthropomorphized, or personified, as figures or animals. In other words, the early civilizations did not just follow the sun and stars, they personified them with elaborate myths involving their movements and relationships. The sun, with its life-giving and saving qualities, was personified as a representative of the unseen creator or God, God's sun, the light of the world, the savior of humankind. Likewise, the 12 constellations represented places of travel for God's sun, and were identified by names usually representing elements of nature that happened during that period of time. For example, Aquarius, the water bearer, who brings the spring rains. This is Horus. He is the sun god of Egypt of around 3000 BC. He is the sun, anthropomorphized, and his life is a series of allegorical myths involving the sun's movement in the sky. From the ancient hieroglyphics in Egypt, we know much about the solar messiah. For instance, Horus, being the sun or the light, had an enemy known as Set, and Set was the personification of the darkness or night. And, metaphorically speaking, every morning Horus would win the battle against Set, while in the evening Set would conquer Horus and send him into the underworld. It is important to note that dark versus light, or good versus evil, is one of the most ubiquitous mythological dualities ever known, and is still expressed on many levels to this day. Broadly speaking, the story of Horus is as follows. Horus was born on December 25th of the Virgin Isis Mary. His birth was accompanied by a star in the east, and upon his birth he was adored by three kings. At the age of 12, he was a prodigal child teacher. At the age of 30, he was baptized by a figure known as Anup, and thus began his ministry. Horus had 12 disciples he traveled about with, performing miracles such as healing the sick and walking on water. Horus was known by many gestural names such as the Truth, the Light, God's Anointed Son, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, and many others. After being betrayed by Typhon, Horus was crucified, buried for 3 days, and thus resurrected. These attributes of Horus, whether original or not, seem to permeate many cultures of the world, for many other gods are found to have the same general mythological structure. Attis of Phrygia, born of the Virgin Nana on December 25th, crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected. Krishna of India, born of the Virgin Devaki, with a star in the east signaling his coming. He performed miracles with his disciples, and upon his death was resurrected. Dionysus of Greece, born of a virgin on December 25th, was a traveling teacher who performed miracles such as turning water into wine. He was referred to as the King of Kings, God's only begotten Son, the Alpha and Omega, and many others. And upon his death, he was resurrected. Mithra of Persia, born of a virgin on December 25th, he had 12 disciples and performed miracles, and upon his death was buried for 3 days and thus resurrected. He was also referred to as the Truth, the Light, and many others. Interestingly, the sacred day of worship of Mithra was Sunday. The fact of the matter is, there are numerous saviors from different periods from all over the world which subscribe to these general characteristics. The question remains, why these attributes? Why the virgin birth on December 25th? Why dead for 3 days and the inevitable resurrection? Why 12 disciples or followers? To find out, let's examine the most recent of the solar messiahs. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary on December 25th in Bethlehem. His birth was announced by a star in the east, which three kings or magi followed to locate and adorn a new Savior. He was a child teacher at 12, and at the age of 30 he was baptized by John the Baptist, and thus began his ministry. Jesus had 12 disciples, which he traveled about with, performing miracles such as healing the sick, walking on water, raising the dead. He was also known as the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Light of the World, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of God, and many, many others. After being betrayed by his disciple Judas and sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected and ascended into heaven. First of all, the birth sequence is completely astrological. The star in the east is Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, which, on December 24th, aligns with the three brightest stars in Orion's belt. These three bright stars in Orion's belt are called today what they were called in ancient times, the Three Kings. And the Three Kings and the brightest star, Sirius, all point to the place of the sunrise on December 25th. This is why the Three Kings follow the star in the east, in order to locate the sunrise, the birth of the sun. The Virgin Mary is the constellation Virgo, also known as Virgo the Virgin. Virgo in Latin means virgin. Virgo is also referred to as the house of bread, and the representation of Virgo is a virgin holding a sheaf of wheat. This house of bread and its symbol of wheat represents August and September, the time of harvest. In turn, Bethlehem, in fact, literally translates to house of bread. Bethlehem is thus a reference to the constellation Virgo, a place in the sky, not on earth. There's another very interesting phenomenon that occurs around December 25th, or the winter solstice. From the summer solstice to the winter solstice, the days become shorter and colder. And from the perspective of the northern hemisphere, the sun appears to move south and get smaller and more scarce. The shortening of the days and the expiration of the crops when approaching the winter solstice symbolize the process of death to the ancients. It was the death of the sun. And by December 22nd, the sun's demise was fully realized. For the sun, having moved south continually for 6 months, makes it to its lowest point in the sky. Here a curious thing occurs. The sun stops moving south, at least perceivably, for 3 days. And during this 3-day pause, the sun resides in the vicinity of the Southern Cross, or Crux, constellation. And after this time, on December 25th, the sun moves 1 degree, this time north, foreshadowing longer days, warmth, and spring. And thus it was said, the sun died on the cross, was dead for 3 days, only to be resurrected or born again. This is why Jesus and numerous other sun gods share the crucifixion, 3-day death, and resurrection concept. It is the sun's transition period before it shifts its direction back into the northern hemisphere, bringing spring and thus salvation. However, they did not celebrate the resurrection of the sun until the spring equinox, or Easter. This is because at the spring equinox, the sun officially overpowers the evil darkness, as daytime thereafter becomes longer in duration than the night, and the revitalizing conditions of spring emerge. Now, probably the most obvious of all the astrological symbolism around Jesus regards the 12 disciples. They are simply the 12 constellations of the zodiac, which Jesus, being the sun, travels about with. In fact, the number 12 is replete throughout the Bible. Coming back to the cross of the zodiac, the figurative life of the sun, this was not just an artistic expression or tool to track the sun's movement.
We're gonna stop it right there. Excuse me. So you can see that historically, once again, we're not dealing with
history we're dealing, particularly as it relates to the figures that we're talking about today and the theology that has been imposed upon us today. We're not talking about that. We're not talking history. We're talking belief. But I'm going to take a break. We'll come back from the break. We're going to get off into this discussion. Hope you can lend something to it. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Solo.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Let's get back into the conversation. Even though, and let me just say this, for those who are religious, and you might think I'm being insulting by making light, but let me just say this. I think it's insulting what has happened to African people because of this religion. Believe me, you have taken a religion that is esoteric, or there's allegories, there's myths, there's all these other things, and you say what you have is fact. What you have is historical. And you have taken something coming out of ancient Egypt, which is the foundation of all the others that were even in that piece I just played on Ziggeist. Probably one of the best part of the book of Urugu by Marimba Ani Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior, is the religious part. Because whether we understand it or not, because we don't understand it, that's for damn sure, that the most important part of Christianity, the most important, is death and resurrection. Jesus has to die for the sins of the world. And because of that, I believe that. And though I'm a sinner, because I believe that Jesus died and rose, I will be saved. Now, you're supposed to make that a confession and go and sin no more. But you continue to do so because you are a sinner. So Easter, above all, is the most important day in Christianity, the resurrection. And of course, once again, like everything else, many concepts within the tradition of Easter as well as Christmas are pagan. And of course, the church incorporates those concepts because they want the people who believe in those things, who believe in the Easter bunny, which is part of fertility worship, Easter eggs and stuff like that, to be a part of it. Then they wrap some other traditions around that. I mean, it's just like even the day itself. Now, once again, they had a calendar. They could pinpoint the day. It's just like right now. Today is April 10th, 2020, by the Gregorian calendar. By the Kemetic calendar, is 6,200 and almost 60, okay, by the Kemetic calendar. But by the Gregorian calendar, the European one, is the year April 10th, 2020, okay. So I'm on the radio program, and then I'm talking, and then bam, I fall over dead. 10 years from now, oh man, this is that same year. I remember that. Because, you know, there's some things you're going to remember, just like, you know, 9-11, September 11th, 2001, you know, which is coming up on the 20th year of that charade. But you're going to remember that. You know, November 22nd, 63, Kennedy. You know, February 21st, 65, Malcolm. You know, April 4th, you get the picture, 68, 10 Kings. So you remember it. So you say, I ain't saying that I'm famous, okay? Let me get it real, okay? But you're going to see that that could happen, and then I fall over dead. So I remember when that brother was on the radio, man, fell over dead. I remember that day. This is such an important day. Why is this day not remembered clearly? Number one, because it has to coincide with the Hebrew day of Passover, which is always moved, because that didn't happen. So number two, because it coincides with that, you can't give a clear date of when that actually happened. We got a caller. We're taking calls, brothers and sisters. Get in on this conversation at
215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 646, good afternoon.
ODMs, what's happening, good brother?
I'm doing well.
Hey, listen, I just like to say George Carlin was one of the most funniest the world has ever produced. Most of all, he was truthful in his comedy. To me, I have to say it, he's one of the best. He's in my top five.
Well, you know, Jay, me and you are alike, because I have to admit myself that George Carlin, I listened to some Lenny Bruce, man, but George Carlin, in fact, you know what? I kind of regret that I didn't go see him in Milwaukee at the Pottawatomie Casino. I really regret that, because he died shortly after that. And I know I would have liked to go and seen George Carlin. But George Carlin, from a political standpoint and awareness standpoint, was outstanding. He was on point. And so if you go to YouTube, where you can hear that whole piece on religion and other comedic parts, go to YouTube, hit up George Carlin. Yep, I agree.
Oh, yeah, I check him out all the time when I'm bored and I need a cracker to give me a laugh. George is at the top of the list. Lenny Bruce was all right,
yeah,
but George Carlin was as political,
yeah,
and honest as they come. I always wonder what it would be like today. I mean, he would just rip him a new one.
Oh, no doubt.
Time, man. It would be brutal.
Yeah.
And what you call it. But I really see that the program that you presenting today is an interesting program for the religious nuts who need to, hear these type of things regards to the mysticism of spookism and skydaddyism and all of this other nonsense.
Well, let me say this, Jay. No, they really don't want to listen to this program. They don't want to hear what I'm saying. There's no doubt.
They need to.
No, of course they do, but they will not, because their mentality is, I rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because this theology makes you scared. This theology, you are supposed to fear God. You're supposed to be afraid. Just like George Carlin said, he's going to burn you in hell, but he loves you, you know. And
but think about this, Oshie. Don't you think the one that gave you this religion, if you look at it and you step back from it, don't you think that that's what they wanted you to be? A fearing, spineless, shiftless Negro who believes that somebody's gonna come and rescue you, and that they ain't never gonna come, and that's how they were able to keep us under control along with their brutality. It was just a sick, twisted game that was played on us that we fell for, because the reality is, if you wipe away all of those tentacles of fear, we would be killing this peck of wood constantly.
Well, understand something.
It would just be the religious thing to do.
Understand something that, you know, number one, this religion, basically, after it got out of the so-called Middle East, the European Jews took the part of Judaism or that particular theology, and they now dominate and control Judaism. The Ashkenazis are not the Hebrews. They're not the Israelites. They're Europeans, and they control that. And then Christianity, of course, is controlled by Europeans. So you have both of these theologies, and Judaism is not a proselytizing religion. You can join it, but they don't seek converts. Christianity, on the other hand, it seeks converts, but not initially globally. Later, it did. Later. And particularly wanting to get and subdue other cultures to erase what they had with any kind of theology or any kind of myth that they had.
and say, what I have is historical. What I have is fact. What you have is, you know, is fairy tales. What you have is this, that, or the other. And so that's the big difference. And they imposed it on the world because they initially did not want us. I mean, you ain't supposed to be Christian. They, you know, that was reserved for Caucasians. And then they realized the subduing and the docile factor that it made us, and giving us a theology tied to themselves and saying that this is part of your salvation. And then not only that, tweaking the Bible in certain passages to say, slaves, obey your masters as if you would do me, you know,
to benefit their BS.
Exactly. So I've got some other calls. Jay, let me get another call. Call 334. Good afternoon. Call 334. Okay, you just want to listen. That's cool. Call 267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, brother. It's your brother Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Ralph. How are you, man? How you been?
I'm fine, man. Good topic you bringing up today. And I'm going to let you know right now why Easter changes its date. So there was not a specific date that Jesus rose from the grave. It's because Easter falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox.
Right.
I mean, it's right there. It's right there.
Right.
That's why it's the first Sunday after the first
right.
full moon.
And so, and so right there, charting that, as they had probably for millennial, that was the Passover. And so the Passover is that Sunday. The following Sunday is Easter because in the Passover, where they were painting the blood over the entrance of the home so death could pass over them and kill the firstborn of Egypt and all them, then the many years that go by, then now Jesus, being a Jew, he goes to Rome for Passover. He goes right. into Jerusalem, and he is riding on the donkey, going to Jerusalem. And, of course, he doesn't like what's going on. He's acting this, that, and the other. And so turning over tables and chairs in the synagogue, I guess, you know.
Which we need to do today.
Yep, I heard that, especially these jackleg dudes. And so then yes. he now is going to be punished. And of course, the Hebrew hierarchy wants him dead because he's not the – he's not the Messiah that they were looking for. They were looking for a badass dude who can come kick these Romans in their ass and kick them out of Israel. That's what they were looking for. They were not looking for a peacemaker. See, so he no. wasn't it. And so then they kill him and crucify him. Now, I understand what you said, and I stated that earlier. But yet and still, there was you could date and things back then. So then why isn't then that date commemorated? Well, regardless, because I know you're right, because it would not fit what the right. Jews had with the first full moon and then the Passover. See, so well, that's know, why it has to change.
All that stuff is all for out of the zodiac anyway.
Right, it's allegory.
A good book for the listeners and everybody to read is called "The World's 16 Crucified Savior" by Curtin Graves. The story. This is a story of a person having 12 disciples
sure.
take human form.
Sure.
And that this story was used over and over
again.
And over again. But Jesus is the Johnny come lately
right.
of the book. And so the Greeks and the Romans capitalized on it
right.
and made him in their image. Now, getting off religion, I'm gonna go here, Brother Oshie. Now, I heard you and Brother Jay talking about how people lose their mind over religion. I posted something why I would never vote for that racist pig, Joe Biden. He's a strong sermon worshiper and everything else. Man, Negroes lost their everlasting mind.
I know,
Can I hear an amen?
Negroes lost their everlasting mind. And so I wouldn't embarrass. So I wouldn't embarrass some longtime friends, some family members, and everything else. I took the post down. And the only thing I said was, I'm going to wait. I'm going to, like, not take part in Facebook until these people elect their savior. Then maybe, I took the post down because I didn't want them to embarrass or even show how foolish these grown men were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I took it down and I just said, I'm going to wait until they elect their savior, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad. That shows you the state of mind we have. This nigga, here's a man who you could go to YouTube, you can go anywhere and see how he worshiped Strom Thurmond at his funeral.
Mm.
He got his records on segregation here in Delaware. How he didn't want black children to be on that bus with white children. Yet the Negro said, we got to get Trump out.
Yeah.
So, you know. That's sad, brother. So I didn't mean to go off topic, but man,
I hear you. But you know what though, brother Ralph, we'll have more chance to talk about that and other things and get all knee deep in his, you know what, has the monk's approach. Because believe me, I'm with you just like Hillary Clinton. I couldn't stand her ass either. So okay,
like Obama and the other 43 of them.
That's right.
They never did nothing for the Africans. Never.
Right. Never.
Step on.
That's right.
So I'm just going to go back on mute, brother.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot, Ralph. Appreciate you, man. All right. 404-453-404.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Wes. How are you?
Hey, I'm still learning, man, but it's all confused. Religion, politics, and sports and sex and shit. That caused people to go to arguing and stuff, man. But look here. All I know is, man, okay, the way, another way to calculate when Passover is, if you go 14 days after the doggone first of the year or spring equinox, you always hit Passover, man.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And so being said, they don't eat the day he was sacrificed was in the midst of the week anyway, on a Wednesday. All right? It's right in the book. All
right?
It's in the book.
So, right? It's right in what book, Wes?
In the book of Daniel, 9:27.
Okay, so it's in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, that Jesus, that Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday.
In the midst of the week.
In the midst, middle of the week, or does it say in the middle of the week, or does it say in the midst of the week?
In the midst of the week, but I know you're gonna say they flip time all around.
Yeah, because if you say in the midst of the week, I mean, I think that's one of the major problems is that the words and the verbiage always there's an issue.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I did a couple of programs on words and verbiage. On this program, like dealing with the word slave, you know, I mean, there's so many words.
So fast forward.
I'm sorry, did you say?
So I fast forward, man. I go with energy now, man. The most high, I go with the energy of the universe. For every action equal and opposite reaction. I know one damn thing. We all us can prove this. If you throw something up, it's coming down. Okay, that's the law of the universe.
Yeah, well, that's the law of gravity. That's the law of gravity. That's the science that's proven how that happens. I think the most important thing that we all have to understand, Wes, is that there is science. There is science, and then there's theology. And a lot of times, the two do not coincide. They don't agree with one another. The theology gives a perspective that is purely conjecture, purely based upon a belief, not something that is known, not as something that is proven, not as something that has stood a test. It is a belief. And unfortunately, go ahead.
I want to give I want to give you a fact, man. We are light emitting energy, motion, energy and motion. All right. So that's what I'm going with, man. I forget about man-made religion. I try to do my art, but my art would kill me about my art. The way each one line say, I have not done this. I did not do that. The universe don't work on that first, man. The law of the universe work on what you do. So they kind of mislead people with even to my art. All right? But I have not done that. I will not do that.
Well,
I won't do that.
Well,
that's backwards. Man, the universe don't work like that.
Well, the thing is this. What kind of person are you? Yeah. What kind of man are you? What kind of woman are you?
What's in your heart? Are you wrong with
right.
People?
Are you a man or woman of your word? Are you empathetic and sympathetic to others? Do you give of yourself? Do you give of your time for others? Do you have compassion? See, I think all of those things are important. See, now, when they talked about Ma'at ruled the society. First, those are seven principles of Ma'at of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, and balance. Because that's what kept the society intact. Because they say if you live by these particular laws, because see, that's what laws are necessary because laws are anticipated regularity. If there ain't no damn law, then when you go outside, you don't know what the hell going to happen to your ass. So you need law.
I want to say this before I go, man. The way it works, it's on like every action is opposite and react. So if you do bad stuff coming to you.
Well, it
you
should.
Do good stuff coming
well, let me just say this. I think you're right in that respect because I believe in the law of reciprocity. But understand something. There have been some people who have done so much dirt, so much wrong for so damn long. Look at what Europeans have done to this damn planet. Look at what they continue to do.
The reaction time speeding up now, man. So them folks is paying one by one. It ain't going to know you. Back then, you could throw a rock and hit somebody to hide your hand. You can't do that now, bro. Okay, so these folks is paying, man. All right, that's what I kept trying to tell all y'all. Like you said, they will pay and are going to pay for the stuff they done to us, man.
Okay,
that's why you see what happened. The whole church thing shut down now, man. You see what I'm saying? Can't nobody go to damn church tomorrow, Sunday. Okay, see how the universe working now, man. All them damn lies they've been telling about churches. Can't nobody even go to church now. Hallelujah. I thank the Most High for that, man. Shutting all this shit down. Okay, I'm like my man Paul Mooney. When the earthquake starts happening, I'm going to get a hammer and help God bust the ground. All right? I'm going to leave it like that and let somebody else talk, man. I love y'all. Man.
Okay, I love you too.
Enjoy the show.
I love you too, Wes. All right, dear brother.
It's our time,
y'all. All right. Oh, man.
If he say it's coming to an end, it's coming to an end. Hallelujah. All praises due that the Sky Daddy may be ending this mess for the Peckerwoods.
Well, you know what, though? Let me say this. You know, I am a spiritual man. I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in these tenets. I don't believe in all of these stories. What I believe in is that human beings have a destiny. Human beings live on a planet. We are physical. Some have argued that we're spiritual living a physical life. So be it. The bottom line is, this is what we see and feel right now, right this moment. What we can recollect from yesterday and years past to what projections can we have for the future and how do we make that happen? That's where I am. It looks terrible, Jay and listeners. It looks terrible. And in a damn thing. And see, the problem with religion is that they want you to live this ugly ass existence here for you to say, I believe, and so therefore I'll have a in the future, not in the physical future, in the spiritual future when I die, a place where I'm going to go where there's land of milk and honey, a place where I'm going to go, there's heaven. I'm going to see my mama, see my brother, relatives that have also gone on and so forth. It is a belief. It is a belief. And when people talk about near-death experiences and come back, You know, only one I remember that made me laugh was a Caucasian kid, you know, who said he saw God and it was black. And I'm quite sure they kind of like chilled him out. Don't be talking about God is black, you know. You know, but even at that, I'm not prescribing or giving anything to a deity of any kind of nationality or racial components or look. I know we always mentioned about in Revelations that Jesus had hair like lamb's wool and feet has it been burned in the oven and so forth. And we use that, you know, so I'm not prescribing that because number one, to me, because of all the things that are not original, not substantiated, the Bible, the calendar, all these, that's like, to me, I don't believe in zodiac signs because the calendar has to be off. It wasn't like it was back when it was initiated, when it was created. It can't be because of Julius Caesar and what he did, and then Augustus Caesar, what he did, and then Pope Gregory for what he did. You know, so I'm just saying, you know.
Hey, listen. The bottom line is, Scott Daddy ain't really never done nothing for us as a people the way that we assume that it has. It's like this. Like Ralph said earlier, we're dealing with our people and addressing facts that are thrown in our face in regards to a scumbag, dirtbag, peckerwood like Joe Biden, we don't want to listen because we assume that the other dirtbag, scumbag, peckerwood, Donald Trump is worse. But they both the same devils. Well, I mean, that's something that we need to realize.
That's what, to me,
trying to rationalize that one is better than the other.
See, to me, that's what I'm saying. Although we have a Negroocracy, we have a lot of elders. In fact, that's what happened in Milwaukee as well. The people in Milwaukee did not want to vote for the sister. The young folks did, middle folks. Most of the elder folks did not want to vote for that sister, Lena Taylor, for mayor. They wanted to go with the old Caucasian who's been there 4 or 5 terms. He ain't even done a damn thing, particularly for our community. The water is still bad, just like it is in Flint. There's a lot of other things that are bad, but yet they're still willing to allow him, you know. So I'm saying it's just
what you deserved it.
Yeah.
If that's the case, if you allow for someone that is your enemy to stay in the position over you when you have a chance to remove it, and you don't, did you get what you deserve? I can't get all bent out of shape and take my hair out and all of these things because of the nature of the sick Negro pee. The bottom line is, if you understand the Negro P, you know that he has nothing in your best interest for you. He don't even have nothing in his best interest for himself or his children. He just want to be closer to what the perception and the procedures are that make the daddy keep taking
money. And that's why I maintain in this juncture of our struggle, either we're going to be in or we're going to be out. Either we're going to be African or we're not. And if you're going to be African, you with us. You want to be in, you with us. You want to be out, you out. You go ahead. And we got to move forward. We, you know, it's never been really about the masses anyway. Because we, particularly in this society, because this society perpetuates individualism. It is hard being collective when you think of yourself as an individual. You think about what's in it for me. How can I get over what? How can I get mine? And Christianity is one of the main religions that perpetuates individualism. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, yeah? Your community is going to hell. Your family's going to hell. But your ass is blessed and highly favored.
And that's how they live their lives.
Exactly. How can you have a minister who has tremendous amounts of wealth from a congregation that barely makes it? Now, some argue that the minister is so wealthy because the congregation is wealthy and he made it such. Because of
it
how...
It did want you to give up.
and they want you to give up 10% of your hard-earned earnings. And now in the time of crises, the bastards are still begging for money, but ain't offering you nothing
other
than a prayer. Can you believe this?
I haven't heard or seen, and I'm quite sure they would have publicized it like they did. What's his name? Who did a good deed? Man, see that, Jay. I'm telling you.
You can't even remember who the big one was. Hey, listen,
Tyler Perry.
A good deed.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Tyler Perry.
I want to say this right quick. OC, you got a reverend in Atlanta by the name of Reverend Jamal Bryant. I like to whip his ass.
Well,
just going on the record. Well, if I ever saw him, I'd probably smack him in his face for having the nerve to charge our people $150 to take a test that could save their lives. A dirtbag like that in the
you also
beat his ass with.
You also have Creflo Dollar here, who has amassed millions of dollars. So you have these ministers, and I haven't heard, once again, Tyler Perry did a good deed. There's others. In fact, there's the Caucasian who gave up $1 billion, 25% of his wealth, where even Bezos from Amazon and what's his name from Facebook gave a small fraction. It's almost somebody give a comparison. It's almost like this guy gave $10, the other guy gave a Lamborghini. You know, if you want to use that comparison. But the bottom line is I have not heard of one minister, of those big money ministers, you know, Copeland and all them other cats, man, you know, not giving up anything in this serious situation that is happening around this country and around this world. Because
the thing is this, why there's so many damn mega church in Atlanta anyway with the amount of monkey men walking around there. What, are they not really saving souls?
No, because understand something. Jake, hold on. Understand something. Understand something. The church has been sensitized to homosexuality like everything else in the society has. It is a normalcy within a society. So, in fact, when you have a church, and it's a large mega church, usually the choir director, members of the choir and so forth, may be homosexual, may. I'm not saying unequivocally, yes, that is so. But it is a part of what they believe is probably happening in society. Nobody is shamed or ostracized. It happens, you know. And they have, you're right, big church. This is the Bible Belt. It's the South. And as I stated early in the beginning of this program, the biggest crux of the problem for us as African people coming together, unifying, developing a direction for our people of self-sufficiency, of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty is religion, particularly Christianity, because it does not, as a religion, help support African people coming together. It doesn't. You're more apt to suspect and talk about mine. I got mine. I'm saved.
Hey, Oshi, two stats in a 12, brother. That's what it is. It's like on Living Color with Blaine and whoever the other cat was would do two stats
Antoine,
in a 12.
Antoine Merriweather.
That
was Antoine Merriweather, man.
The reality is, whenever you have men like Creflo Dollar and Jamal Bryant getting up there trying to sell you anything, all you need to think about is a snake oil salesman. Yeah. Because them two Negroes live better lives than their congregants. They constantly lying. They constantly try to get in your pocket, and in return, what are they doing? Are they taking care of the elderly members in the church? I remember seeing a couple of years ago where a woman who had been in the church for 50-some years was behind on her tithes, and the bastards wouldn't even let her have her going away ceremony
in the
church.
Yeah.
See, that's the type of evil and wickedness
but
these pork chop chicken
But let me say this. You would think that if that happens, that you know that the law, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would somehow chastise these people. And some may argue, well, they'll get theirs in the end, you know, when the judgment comes and so forth. But the reality is that the world we live in is a world that has been dominated by Christianity, which is controlled by Caucasians, which can control from Catholicism, which is at the root of it, and Judaism, which is at the root of it. Not the ancient Hebrews, not the ancient Israelites. I'm talking about the Ashkenazi, the European Jews, the ones who are in the state of Israel today. They are in control of the theology around the planet, whether you like it or not. Now, you can say that the church that you go to, if it's Christian, the mosque that you go to, Islam, the temple that you go through to, is a Hebrew or Black Hebrew Israelites or a Jew or whatever, is not like that. So be it. I ain't speaking about individualistic groups or sects. I'm talking about the imposition of a worldwide religion on humanity, and that has enslaved the minds of humanity.
The white man has no humanity, brother. I'm sorry to tell you that.
No, you know I know that. He's amoral. He's amoral.
Beyond amoral.
Yeah.
They got to be something worse than amoral to fit that no good devil in. That's what he is. He's the devil. He's Lucifer. He's Satan. He's the Antichrist. He's the dog of the planet. And the sad thing is, we didn't strangle the dog. And well, this is what we got, Cujo.
Yeah, but one thing that is problematic for us is that we're trained not to look at that. We're trained not to see that for what it is. We're trained to believe it and have hope in it and pray to it and believe that one day, not while I'm physically here, but one day I'll be out of this evil here on this planet, and then I'll be in the celestial realm and into heaven. See, once again, I'd rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true.
Did they have a song in the nation that said, I think the white man's heaven is the black man's hell?
Right.
Or something like
that. Was
like
early
that.
On. Yeah, that was Minister Farrakhan when he first got in. That song is recorded. That's recorded by him.
Oh, see Louis did leave us something in that we could listen to today and have enjoyment. Because I tell you something, man, I don't care what nobody say. Farrakhan is one of the finest orators that we have ever produced. I remember back in the days when he was going on his tour to put together the first Million Man March, listening to him on numerous occasions. And let me tell you something, man. There was no one like Louis at that time. Louis was as fierce as there ever was. Now he's a little bit different. But back then, man, I could understand and see why he was able to gather all of those men like he did. Because I tell you something, no other man at that time, or maybe even this time, could bring forth that many men. I think the only person now that maybe could do it, because he got so many sickle fin fans and lovers, is Puff the Magic Negro Obama. That's the only one. He could maybe get a million.
No. No.
I think he could.
No, Jay. I don't think he could get a million of us. I think he could get a million people easy. Million people.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. I agree with you. He could get a million people easy.
Daddy can't get a good crowd.
I'm talking about. But what did Farrakhan get? He didn't get a million people. He got a million of us.
That's right.
See, that's the difference. Because I don't.
What could it be like?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm about to wind down the program. For those who unfortunately will not be able to go to their house of worship on Sunday because of the virus, there are some who are going to, because it is Easter Sunday.
They don't know how lucky they are.
But, you know, which is, once again, as I stated, if you didn't hear me, the most important day in Christianity, the resurrection, the death and resurrection. And that's why it has to be historical. It has to be real. I don't give a damn what no damn Brother Oshie say. It's real. It's historical, even though everything about it is taken from other cultures and other theologies, particularly from ancient Kemetic culture and theology, which is the foundation of all of that, saviors. It has to be. Those are myths. Those are fairy tales. But what Christianity is real and it's historical. It has to be, because that in the mindset for the Christian is their savior, is their being able to go to heaven. That's it. So it has to be. So even though you cannot go to church, and there are some churches that will be open and they're asking their congregants to come. There's even one pastor said, if we die, because we in church celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus, because we now get coronavirus and die, it is an honor. It's the way to go. It is ordained.
You really think so, huh?
That's what they say.
Hey, if you believe that, then you believe I'm going to kiss a peck of wood. Because ain't no way in God's green earth I'm going to go sit up in some building and listen to some bull sugar honey iced tea talking about a sky daddy if it would put me in the way of having to go see him. Ain't no way in heaven I would do it. I would keep my black behind in my house, kill it, maybe put you on the video screen.
And I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. They're going to Skype them in or Zoom them in.
Well,
whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is. You know, some even stated they're going to dress up as if it was, you know, that they were out in the public, you know, like the Easter parade. They're going to put on their Easter stuff.
You know how lucky you are, Oshie, to save money, not having to go up there. The only thing I ever miss about Easter is seeing the sisters with their beautiful hats on.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's a waste. That's the only thing I would probably miss, is seeing the beautiful sisters with those beautiful hats that
those
they
Easter
put on
bonnets,
like no
huh?
other. But
yeah.
Listen, let me leave you with this note. Stay your behind home. Don't go out there and don't do nothing but stay at home in your boxes and your panties and your bra on and just look at it. And thank God that you're alive. The Sky Daddy is keeping you safe.
All right, Jay. All right. And keep your hands washed. All right, Jay. Later.
I'm here.
Okay. Brothers and sisters. Sister.
Brother Oshie.
It's Queen Ali. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Peace to you.
Peace to you.
I would just like to end the program by saying that all religions, let's not forget that all religions in the quote unquote religious ideology, theology, and traditions and customs and culture come out of our own tradition.
Come out of our own tradition.
And we have always been a spiritual people.
Ashe.
So that is where we start from, which is what has led us into the dilemma that we find ourselves into today, where we still assimilate and get our identity from those who think that they were supposed to be the masters of the people.
Okay.
So peace to you all.
All right, my sister. Peace to you. Thank you. And to all the listeners, we end this program, like in all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko, The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and is shown the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful and safe weekend. Safe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bifiore. Bifiore means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful, safe weekend. Peace, family.